You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
A wife speaks to her husband. She says, Do you think you can do this for me today? And you fill in the blank, because ladies always have things for us to do. Fellas, do you have one of those refrigerators? They put a magnet and they have a to-do list on it. Why is my name always on the to-do list and nobody else's in the home? I don't understand that. Fellas, come on, don't leave me out here hanging by myself. Give me an amen or something. Ask your wife if you could say amen right now. Will you ask her right now? May I say amen to that? An unmarried guy. He knows nothing about what I'm talking about. Your wife says, do you think you could do this? Sure. 3 days later, it's still not done. There's many descriptions for behavior like that. One is laziness. One is carelessness. One is stupidity. When the wife asks you to do something and you don't come through, that's just dumb. Why do we do things like that? Because we don't like our mate? Because we don't like our family? No, we procrastinate. And I'm preaching to myself. We have an area in the backyard, a shed, and I have been attempting the last 3-4 weeks to clean that shed up, and somehow it's gotten out of order. I try, if I use a tool, put it right back. But somehow, and I would like to say it wasn't from me, I like to say it's the sweet wife the Lord gave me, and she just keeps dumping things out there. But it's my problem. I've got to deal with it. I wish I could say I'm 100% perfect at this. But all of us have a tendency to procrastinate. Example, how many of you are sitting next to a person right now that has a tendency to procrastinate? All hands up. You don't want to fight in church, do you? How many have a tendency yourself to procrastinate? Hands up. Now there's some good Christians. First crowd was kind of a dumb, but never mind, we won't say anything about that. I want to speak today on the subject, the danger of procrastination. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll take care of it tomorrow. I'll handle it tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. God says, don't procrastinate. This text makes it very clear for us today. He is writing to Christians. The apostle, and I believe Paul wrote this, we're not told. It just seems like to me it's the apostle Paul in his writings. He says in verse 1, wherefore, what's the next two words, church? Holy brethren. He is not writing to heathens. He is writing to Christians. He said, I want to give you an example. I'm going to talk to you about not putting things off. Let me give you an example of two people, Jesus Christ and Moses. They dealt with things. Moses, God said, build an ark. It took 120 years, but he went and built an ark. And the Bible says, your examples are, consider the apostle, high priest, the profession of our faith, Christ Jesus, who is faithful. Pointing to him. Also, Moses was faithful in his house. Verse 5, and Moses verily was faithful in his house as a servant for a testimony, those things which were to be spoken after. So he said, I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this in a minute, he said. But I want to lay the groundwork. I'm writing to you Christians. I'm writing to this crowd that's in this auditorium this morning that know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You stand redeemed. We heard about it this morning by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God it's under the blood. Thank God I can say that I know Christ is my Savior. And he said, I'm writing to you like give you an example. Jesus Christ, who was faithful, who the last word he said was finished. He finished what his Father gave him to do. And then I'm going to give an example of Moses, he said. And Moses finished his task. Now we get to verse number 7. God is going to demand an action from us when we procrastinate. Procrastination is always a failure to have an action. There must be an action, whether it's in your marriage, your home, your parenting, your finances, your job. You're going to have to, leadership means I make a decision and I'm going to go forward with that decision. He gives us this word, and I want you to see this action. It shows up in the word, verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, what's the next two words in there? We use them as one. What does it say? Today. Today. Look at verse number 13. Exhort one another daily while it's called what? Today. Verse 15, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice. Chapter 4, verse number 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying, David, today. Go back to chapter 3 where we are, please. Today. You know, when God speaks, it demands an action. God's been speaking to my heart in this service this morning. I just love it. I love it. Hear the choir. They started this morning. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. I heard the trumpets down here, the orchestra back here, the pianist, the organist, the other pianist. I hear the choir singing. I want that to minister to my heart. God began to speak to me. God began to deal with me. I'm so grateful. I love every day of the week. Every day of my life there's a different schedule for almost every day. I try to make sure that every day is very special in my life, my responsibilities. But I tell you, there's something about Sunday. Amen. The Lord dealt with me early this morning. I was thinking about Sunday. I love Sunday. I love every day, but I love Sunday. Amen. And one of the things that God led on my heart right away is because I get to see the people of God. Oh, I know some Christians are difficult, and there's some grump cases, and there are some people that always have a problem, and I know there's some people undoubtedly are backslid. I know all that, but I tell you what, I've always, when I was a boy over here 20 minutes ago, I loved going to church to see the people. I loved to hear our small choir in those days when the church was young. I loved to hear the choir when it got bigger. I loved to go to church. I loved our church is a little bit more highbrow, and I don't have a fault with it. The choir came out with robes on Sunday morning, and it really looked beautiful, and no one would say anything. The organist would give the chord. We'd all stand, praise God from whom all blessings flow. What's called the doxology. Sang it every Sunday. I loved it. On Sunday morning, our church, the numbers of the songs were in the bulletin. And they're also on a board over here. And our pastor, nobody would lead the music on Sunday. The organist would play a whole stanza normally, much of it. And we'd just start singing. And it told us 1, 3, and 5, how many stanzas we're going to sing. That's just the way it was. A little bit highbrow. And by the way, God used that in my life. That's why we sang How Firm a Foundation this morning. Those are great hymns of the faith. And I'm not complaining about my church at all. God used that. Sunday night was gospel service, evangelistic. Oh, we since Jesus came into. I tell you what, I can remember standing as a boy next to I was on the end of the row, my dad, my mother, and then the sisters. And I tell you what, I love Sunday. I just loved it. Amen. And Sunday night, we're in that little building, little thin little building, no electricity. And there was a farm next to the church about 5 feet away and a barbed wire fence, and that cow would always come lean his head over into our property. And I'd watch that cow during preaching. Oh, about 8:30 at night, In those days, church was getting old, about 8:30, 8:40. And I thought, I hate this now. I've got to go to, I don't want to say the word in the pulpit, S-C-H-O-O-L, tomorrow. You know what that spells? College, that's exactly it. That's why we're going to enroll him in preschool this year. Because I tried to be a good Christian, I hated school. You didn't catch it, did you? How many of you strange people loved school? A lot of people. But if I had a Christian school like we have here, I would have loved it. I had to go to school on Monday. There was no singing, How Firm a Foundation. There was no singing, I Stand Redeemed. There was no singing, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I felt like such a sissy. I'd go to the bus stop with my twin sister, Jack and, yeah, real cute. I wouldn't stand with her. I was embarrassed with her. She was a good Christian. I was on Sunday. I was a good Christian on Sunday. I wanted church. I wanted preaching. I wanted Sunday school. I wanted the doxology. I was a good Christian on Saturday. I went to church and worked all day Saturday and the maintenance around. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I loved Saturday and Sunday. But going to school, I was standing at the bus stop. And in the 60s, everybody, girls and guys, all smoked as you wait for the bus. There's that weird twin sister of mine over there not smoking. And I stood over here, and Jerry, I wanted to smoke so bad so I could be cool like the rest of the guys. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Flood. I'd get upset. I didn't smoke because I loved my mom and dad. I knew it was going to break their heart. And I'd get ticked off sometimes on Monday thinking, why did I have to be born in a Christian home? And then I'd get guilty because I love my parents. And then I'd go to church Wednesday night. I was back on, and I wasn't trying to be a phony. I loved Wednesday night. But then I went back to public school. Everybody got to smoke with Jack. The break at high school, you take a break in the morning, you take a lunch, and the guys would go to billowing smoke out of the restrooms. Man, I wish I was able to do that. Hang out in a restroom? You got to be kidding me. Then someone's always there, teacher coming, and man, you could just smell smoke everywhere. And the teacher would say something like, are you guys smoking? We didn't have smart teachers back then. You know, when God speaks to you about anything, it always demands an action. For example, that procrastination, that item that your wife did ask you, could you do this? Deserves when you go home today, say, I'm so sorry. I promise you, in 3 months from now, I will get it done. I mean, procrastination just always deserves. God would speak to me, Brother Martinez, on Sunday. He would. He'd convict me of my sin. I want to get right on Sunday, and I did. When was the last time God spoke to you about sin? I'm talking about you've been unkind in the home. You've been critical in the home. You've been antagonistic in the home. You destroy. You pick away at your mother. You pick away at your father. You pick away at your children. Or you pick away at your husband or your wife. Everything is always an issue. Everything's bad. When was the last time God said, stop it? And did you do it? When God speaks to your heart, I need to call my mother-in-law and tell her I'm so sorry. I didn't speak to her kindly. I need to call my father. I need to talk to my wife about this. I need to get right with that neighbor. I need to get right with someone at work. If you're saying, well, God doesn't talk to me that way, then the Bible says Romans 8:9, because you're none of his. My dad's presence convicted me. But my heavenly Father's Holy Spirit that lives within me convicts me. That's part of his job, to convict me of sin and wrong and judgment and things I do wrong in my life. No one has to tell me. You need to apologize for that. You need to get that right. And God says, action is today. Not tomorrow. It's today. In fact, look what he says. Today, if you will, what's the key word? Hear his voice. We sing on page 140. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear. I try to listen. The Spirit of God says, why don't you, my wife and I both this way, why don't you put some more money in the offering plate? Why don't you give some money to that couple right there? Why don't you do something for this college kid? Why don't you help this high schooler out? Why don't you help this single adult woman? Why don't you help this for my wife? Why don't you help this father raising kids alone, or this mother raising kids alone? Why don't you help them? Why don't you do something for the senior citizen? Does God, he says, he that you got to hear. So he never talks to me that way. He talks to us every day that way. Every day. We don't want to be a reservoir where we're holding all here. We want to be a funnel where God can send it into us and give it out to him. I'd love to give you the illustration, but I think I'd remove the blessing of God. God moved on my heart to do something this week, and it wasn't small, it was rather large. And then I added just something else and something else. And before I knew it, it was quite a bit of money. It happened to be money. It won't be a tax deduction or anything of that nature. God just led me to do that. But you know, I got a check in the mail for a refund. That same day I wrote that check. And it was numerous of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I put that check in the account right away. I had written a check already, and I made $10 off the deal. And to me, it was just like God said, Jack, go ahead, write that check, and it was fairly large. I didn't remember I was going to get this refund. It's amazing what God can do. Some years I have to pay extra on my taxes. Some years I don't. I've been waiting for a check for the government from 2019. They owe me $2,000. And on January the 3rd or 4th, they sent a note and said it'd be in your account. It will be there in 2 weeks. It never showed up, and we're still looking for it. I forgot all about it till right now, but I'm going to tell you something. I mean, 2019? Thank God. You can trust the government. They ought to run the post office. Maybe we can make money or something. They ought to run more. The government does great. Can you imagine running a business that way? See, that check's in the mail. Oh, I've heard that before. When God speaks to whether it's money or whether it's praying for someone or whether it's fasting or for getting a meal and whether it's getting out of bed in the middle of the night and praying for some family or lost family members, get up and do it today. Yeah. Always in action. Always in action. Look what the Bible says. Today, he says in verse 13 as well, exhort one another daily while it's called today. Encourage one another today. Ms. Treiber taught me this years ago. You'll never say, if I can do anything for you, let me know. No. It's not if I can do anything for you, let me know. You say to me, hey, Pastor, if I can do anything for you, let me know. I'm going to call on the phone and say, by the way, I need $3,000. Can you help me? You think I'm going to call you? I'm not going to put you in that position. I'm not going to say if I can do anything. I will say I'm always available. Never hesitate to call. But I'm also going to say I can do something about that need. I may not have money for that need, but I can get out of bed in the midnight hour while I'm just laying there anyway and go to the place of prayer and pray today for that need. You're burdened about your son or your daughter. That's not doing right. And you say, well, if I can just hold on another year or two or three, they'll be out of the home, they'll be in college, it'll be over. It's never over. And we want to procrastinate and say, tomorrow they'll be gone, I won't have to deal with it. No, tomorrow turns into weeks, months, years. You'll pray more for your kids and your grandkids that God deposits into your home today. What action do you need to involve yourself? Secondly, and I'm done. Don't get excited, because when I say I'm done, it could take me 2 hours on this last one. And it won't take me 2 hours. I find not only does God demand an action, you never put it off and procrastinate. But I want you to see, he also talks about our attitude. Verse 8, he talks about a hard heart. Harden not your heart. You see that in verse 13, the latter part of the verse? Harden. You're hardened. You see that in verse number 15? Harden. Don't get a hard heart. Never a heart like stone. Don't allow your heart to get hard. Verse 10, not only a hard heart, but a rebellious heart. Therefore, I was grieved with that generation. They said they do always err. They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. A rebellious heart has an evil heart, and it's my way, not God. God says, I want you to get on my way. I am the way. Get on my path. I'm not going to get on God's path. I'll do the church thing Sunday morning, but I'm not going to do Monday through Saturday. I deserve some time for myself too. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Get on God's way. God's way is not only a good way or the best way, it's the only way. We have a hard heart. We have a rebellious heart. But look at verse 13. I see an evil heart. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest there be a hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. An evil heart sees that God, okay, the Jews were here for 40 years. God was patient. Judgment didn't come. God's judgment is sometimes delayed. I got away with this. Nobody's going to see. No one's going to know. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, his eyes are all over this earth, seeking where he could place a blessing on those that literally love him and fear his name. Holiness, fear to have reverence toward his name. But these people, they thought delayed judgment meant no judgment. The Bible speaks here in the latter verse, I think the last verse in the chapter, is unbelief. When we get to the point we don't believe that God can do what he needs to do or we ask him to do, then we become just like heathen. God could do anything. God can give us grace when our world is turned upside down. And notice what he says to, when you put things off, notice how it affects your heritage. Verse 9, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, they saw what I was doing. But they still put things off. And so I had to deal with them in time. Procrastination is always wrong. To put off is always not only sin, but it brings consequences. America, and I close, America was in a very wicked moment in history in the late 1700s. The words they used, that America had turned to debauchery, to immorality, to drunkenness, to immoral sin, thievery. And our young country in the latter 1700s, there was a preacher, we have through our publications, his book, Jonathan Edwards. They see Jonathan Edwards as probably, not just as a theologian, but undoubtedly one of the smartest minds, if not the smartest mind that America has ever enjoyed. He was kind of eccentric. He pastored in New England. He would spend about 11 hours a day in prayer and Bible study. To me, it doesn't sound like he was really an engaged father, but somehow all his kids wound up wanting to serve God. He's kind of weird. He really didn't take time, it seemed like, for his children, for his family, for his wife, but he just prayed and studied the Word of God. He gets so burdened for our America. He is the father, if you look up on computer, not a religious site, any, and say the first awakening. Because there's been two, one in the 1700s, one in the 1800s. It was Jonathan Edwards that preached. He said, we're being careless on Sunday. We're doing our own thing on Sunday. We come to church and we're not awake to the things of God. I'm not attacking you. You're the best listening church. It's amazing. He was so distressed with his people and the church and society. He began to pray for our little America at that time. One day he stood and he preached the famous message, and you probably have read it, sinners in the hands of an angry God. They said that people would gather outside trying to get in, and they would hold on to the pillars out front of the church on the porch, just shaking. They fell under such deep conviction. They said revival took place and great things took place. And this word was written, Jonathan Edwards, he described what happened at North Hampton this way. They were remarkable tokens of God's presence in almost every house. You see, if we want to get the church house right, we have to get my house and your house right. How much involvement is God in our life? Or is it internet all day and television all day and programming all day? Are there spiritual things going on in your heart? You're with your children, your grandkids. Are you reading them the Bible? Are you telling them about the Bible? Do they know one of the greatest things? I'll have a funeral here Tuesday, one of my deacons. And I know that he told his kids and grandkids his testimony. But will your kids see you in a casket and never even know your salvation testimony? Your grandkids need to know where you were raised and how you were brought up and what your home was like and what mother was like and what dad was like and what about school? And does it all need to be positive that you went to school uphill in the snow with no shoes on and went home the same way uphill? Don't tell me everything was great. You don't need to expose sin. They can't live up to this perfection grandparent or parent. But have you deposited your life into them? And he said there was a spiritual awareness in every home. Listen to this. Our public assemblies were beautiful. The congregation was alive in God's service. Everyone was earnest when they came for public worship. Every hearer eager to drink the words of the minister as they came from his mouth. And it wasn't just speaking of himself. The assembly in general were from time to time in tears while the word of God was preached. Some were weeping with sorrow and distress. Others with joy and love for others, with pity and concern for their neighbors. Public confession, public prayer to God, acknowledging our backsliding and humbling ourselves before God for our sins, seeking his forgiveness and reformation. You know when that needs to take place? Tomorrow. Oh no. Today. Amen. How is God speaking to our dear friends in the balcony? God is speaking for salvation. You need to come. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. You don't put off salvation to tomorrow. You may not be alive. This dear deacon, Brother Florendo, I'll lay to rest this week. The last service on a Sunday night, he was there. Not knowing that the next day at an appointment, he would pass away the next day. I believe it was your uncle, Carl, that's 56 years of age, and his sweet mother and dad and family and wife and kids, they didn't realize on a Thanksgiving night, right back there, he was going to have a massive heart attack and be gone in just moments. Brother Poussin, your grandmother that prayed for your salvation had a stroke right down over here, and in time passed away with that. What is your life? It's but a vapor to perish, for a moment's vanished. I want to be so right with that lady there that if I'd be in a coffin tomorrow, and I know I wouldn't be able to think these thoughts, but I don't want to die with regrets. I don't want to die with regrets with God's people here. I don't want to have any odd against anybody here in this place. Why? Because God wants me to be right with Him today. And salvation and forgiveness and stopping bitterness and all that and sin. Don't procrastinate. Our Heavenly Father, today I'm so grateful. Another Sunday, you've given me this privilege to stand before the people of God. May we not procrastinate. Perhaps you're calling some young man to the ministry to preach, a young lady to dedicate her life to God. Said, whatever he wants from me, for God wants it from me, his will I'll do. If he but speaks, I'll obey at his voice. I've already decided his will is my choice. God, speak to our young people that are in this room. Speak to our elderly people, the middle-aged people, the lonely people, the unsaved people, the people that have anger in their heart. I pray you speak to our internet friends today. God, please, may we not procrastinate. May we not say, I'll get it ready, I'll get right tomorrow. Today is the day. Today.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.